Welcome to the fourth episode of our Advent series that we're calling It's a Wonderful Life. Excellent, you've got it. We're talking about where we can find hope in a world that is often worried and anxious. And you know, it seems to me that even though we have emerged from a difficult 2 years of lockdowns and fear with the pandemic, the mood and the morale of the country still seems very low. Companies are reporting record levels of discontent among workers. The cost of basic goods and services seems to go up every week, and tens of millions of people in Ukraine are trying to survive freezing temperatures with no electricity. And our own government is teetering on the edge of a shutdown. The instability and unpredictability of our world seems to have set nearly everyone on edge. But hey, Advent is a season of hope. It takes place during the darkest days of the year, and each week we light another candle as a symbol of growing hope in the midst of the darkness around us. So in this series, we're talking about four places where we can always find hope. Always. No matter how dismal the world or our lives may seem to be at the moment. One source of hope that we talked about in the first week of the series is the promise that Christ will come again. He will return to earth one day, and when he does, he'll bring to an end all the chaos and confusion of our world. And people of faith can look forward to that day, and it can bring them hope now. And then in the second week, we looked at another source of hope. We looked at the many prophets and messengers of hope that God has sent to his people throughout the ages and still sends to us today in our daily lives. And we talked about how we can look for those messages and messengers as reliable sources of hope. And then last week, we said that we can also find hope in God's plan. Because no matter what is going wrong in our lives or around us or in the world, we have to believe that God has a plan. God has a plan for the world. God has a plan for everyone, even if it's confusing and hard to figure out sometimes. Now this week, on the fourth and final week of Advent, we're looking at the fourth and final source of hope. And it's really something that I think we all instinctively want and desire and crave, especially when we're feeling worried and upset, and that is companionship. I don't know about you, but when I'm hurting, when I've got a problem and it's upsetting me, I naturally reach out to someone. To a companion, a friend. Whenever my life feels overwhelming, I typically call or confide in a loved one, someone I know who cares about me. You probably do the same thing. In those moments of worry and confusion, no one wants to be alone or feel alone. But the really hard thing for some people to do, even a lot of church people, is to ask God for his companionship, and to experience that companionship in times of trouble. But when you think about it, the whole story of the Bible is about God wanting to be with his people. You might remember the story of the ancient Israelites all the way back nearly at the beginning of the Bible in the book of Exodus, how these people, the Israelites, escaped from slavery in Egypt. In the desert, as they were wandering around, running from the Egyptian armies, God befriended them, and he promised never to leave them. They were camped at a place called Mount Sinai, and their leader, Moses, talked to God. And he was worried. Moses was worried. He had a long trip ahead of him. He didn't know where he was going. He didn't know whether he was going to get water or food for his people. And so he says this to them, You, God, are telling me to lead these people, but you've not told me who's going to accompany me. Who's going along with me to lead these people? Whom will you send with me? This nation is, after all, he says to God, your own people. Moses was worried about the future, and he confided in God, and look at what God says to him in response. He says, Moses, calm down. I'm paraphrasing. I myself will go along with you to give you rest. God reassured Moses that his presence, his companionship, would always be there to support and help his people. And the Jews continued to wander in the desert for many years after that. It was not easy. For a long time, they were a nomadic people. But they always believed that God was there to protect and guide them. Moses would speak to God every day in a portable temple that they called the meeting tent. And when they eventually reached the edge of the promised land, their final destination, the place that they would call home forever, Moses died. And God raised up a new leader to lead them across the border. And this new leader's name was Joshua. And Joshua was afraid also. The Israelites were facing an uphill battle. There were so many powerful armies that were in the area and who did not want the Israelites to come in. And so Joshua questioned whether he would really be able to finish the mission that Moses had started and lead the people into their new homeland. But look at what God says to him. He reassures him, Joshua, be firm, be steadfast, do not fear or be dismayed. Your God is with you. Your God is with you wherever you go. It was a solemn promise of God's constant and abiding presence. And again, hundreds of years later, when the Jewish people were at their lowest point, they had been conquered by the Babylonians, they had been deported to Babylon, living in a strange land, God raised up another man named Isaiah to speak to the people and to encourage them. He wanted to reassure his people that God would lead them home safely. And Isaiah says this to the people on behalf of God, fear not. Don't be afraid. I am with you. I am your God. All through the Bible, God reassures his people that he is present. No matter what, he's there. He's walking alongside you and me every day of our lives, no matter what's going on. That was true of another man in the Bible who was worried and afraid. We hear about him today in the gospel. His name was Joseph. Joseph was very unsure of the situation that he was facing. He was getting married to a woman named Mary. You might have heard of her. Mary and Joseph were what they called betrothed back then. They were betrothed, which was the first step of a two-step year-long process to get married. They had already exchanged their vows and so were considered legally married. But according to local custom, they would not start living together for about another year. And everything was going along fine, it seemed, until something strange happened, something disastrous. Mary announced that she was going to have a baby. And of course, that was not acceptable because they were not living yet together as husband and wife. And I suppose that she told Joseph, she must have told Joseph, hey, Joseph, look, it was through the Holy Spirit that I became pregnant. That's what the angel told her at the Annunciation. But Joseph must have thought that no one would believe that. So it presented a very difficult dilemma for him. The gospel describes Joseph as a righteous man, which means that he would follow the law of Moses very closely. And in those days, the law of Moses would require Joseph to divorce Mary over this. And it would have involved a very public trial. Everyone would have known the circumstances. But the passage also says that Joseph was unwilling to expose her to shame. Joseph loved Mary, so instead, he decided to divorce her quietly. He was afraid of what would happen to Mary if he divorced her and everyone found out, but he was also afraid of what people would think of him if he stayed with her. And so in the midst of all that fear, the angel of the Lord shows up again, and he says to Joseph in a dream, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife, into your home, for it is through the Holy Spirit that this child has been conceived. The angel confirms to Joseph what Mary must have told him. And then the angel says, Mary will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And that was a very important thing, the command to name him Jesus, because in those days, naming a child meant that you legally claimed that child as your own. And as the adopted son of Joseph, Jesus would have inherited his royal Davidic descent. God's plan was starting to come together. But then came the greatest source of comfort and hope for Joseph. We read, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. The gospel writer Matthew was referring to an Old Testament passage in the book of the prophet Isaiah. But it was 800 years later when the Virgin Mary became the one who conceived and brought forth a royal son to save his people. It was Jesus who would be the everlasting sign of God's intimate and loving presence. And it would be a presence, and has been a presence, that was unprecedented, unlike any other kind of God's presence in the past. Because Jesus was truly God, he was fully divine, and that meant that his presence mattered among the people. But equally as important, Jesus was at the same time fully human, which means that he was really one of us and walked among us and was with us and is with us today. For decades, the ABC News commentator Paul Harvey retold a heartwarming story every year on his Christmas radio broadcast. The story was called The Man and the Birds. It's about a kind and decent man, a good man, a man who loved his wife and treated other people with respect. But this man just couldn't swallow the whole Jesus story, you know, and all that talk about God coming to earth as a man on Christmas. All of that incarnation stuff just sounded like nonsense to him. So one year he told his wife that he wasn't going to go to midnight mass with her. He said he would feel like a hypocrite and would prefer to stay home by the warm fire. Well, soon after his family left for mass, snow began to fall. Flurries eventually turned into a full-on blizzard. And the man was reading his newspaper by the fire when all of a sudden he was startled by what sounded like snowballs being thrown against the living room window. But when he looked out, what he saw was a flock of birds huddled outside, freezing in the snow, desperate for shelter. They had been flying into the window trying to get somewhere warm. So quickly the man put on his coat and his boots, and he trudged out into the snow, and he went to his barn and he opened the doors of the barn to let the birds in. They could be warm there and they would be safe there until the storm had passed. But the birds didn't move. He sprinkled a trail of breadcrumbs into the doorway of the barn, but they still did not go in. They just flapped around helplessly in the snow. He tried catching them, but they were too fast. He tried shooing them into the barn, but they just scattered everywhere in fear. Everywhere, that is, except in the warm, lighted barn. Then he thought to himself, if only I could become one of them, then they would trust me, and I could lead them to safety. But I would have to become one of them and be with them. It's the only way. Just then, he heard the church bells ringing softly in the valley below. And he stood there listening as the sound of, "O come all ye faithful," carried by the wind, reached his ears. And as the bells pealed the glad tidings of Christmas, the man finally understood, and he sank to his knees in the snow. Whatever you may be worried about this Christmas, whatever concerns press on your heart, try to remember that in just a few days, a child will be born to us. Unto us a son will be given. And they shall name him Emmanuel. God is with us. And this Emmanuel, he longs to gather you into the warmth, the safety, and the comfort of God's barn. And he wants to do that for everyone. And so this week, we're inviting you to share this gift of God's presence with someone who really needs some hope in their lives. As you leave today, we'll be offering you invitation cards for Christmas masses that you can share with your family and friends. Share them especially with the people in your life who don't know or don't understand the hope that comes at Christmas. For someone, giving them that card, inviting them to Christmas Eve Mass here, may truly be a life-changing miracle. Because the greatest source of hope in our crazy, mixed-up, worried world is the enduring presence of God dwelling among us. It's actually the whole point of Christmas and the only real hope of the world.